Now, Richard Scott is host of the podcast Hour on RNZ. That's on Saturdays from midday until 1pm. And he's in our Wellington studios, our new podcast Critic on Wednesday. He joins us now. Hi.
Hi, Jesse. How are you going?
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah,
I enjoy your hour. It's often when I'm out and about doing errands on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, hopefully it gives you some ideas of stuff to listen to.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the problem. I don't get much sort of podcast time in my life, but I like just getting your sort of potted run through of what's good. How many new podcasts would you come across each week?
Oh, blimey. Probably about five or six. There's always, of course, new ones coming out. So many production studios across the world, so you're just trying to stay across all the new ones coming out, the some familiar names that you're kind of keeping an eye on. And
I remember you featuring one, must have been a year or two ago, about, it was just like a runners podcast, and it was just runners talking about their favorite like run.
Oh, this would be Dirt Church Radio.
yeah, that's it.
That's an awesome one. That's some guys up north of Auckland, and they are really into trail running. And they started up a podcast, really talking about it as talking to people involved and some, you know, really elite athletes, but also just a really neat interactive component of listeners writing in, talking about their best ever run and those times when, you know, it just all feels effortless and you just wish it could feel like that every time. So that kind of running nirvana, if you like.
Yeah, and I remember scoffing and thinking, who would ever listen to a running podcast? Then I told my wife about it, and she was like, that sounds great. So it's all about finding your people, right?
Yeah, exactly. Finding those communities, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm super interested in the trivia of the US comedy scene, which, you know, it used to be really hard to find any good gossip. And then I found that WTF podcast with Marc Maron, I've got everything I could possibly want. In fact, I've had too much US comedy trivia and gossip.
Yeah, well, he recently, I think it was his 1,000th episode quite recently, so there's a fair old back catalogue to get through as well.
Weirdly, I enjoy his podcast, but I don't enjoy him very much. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I guess it does. I mean, I think over the years the show's become about him quite a lot, and he's got some quite well publicized struggles that he's gone through, and in a sense the show has become about him. But I guess the big plus he has is being such an established name, he can really attract, like, well, he had Barack Obama, remember, in his garage talking to him, which is seen by a lot of people as one of those seminal podcast moments, a bit like the first season of Serial, where people actually started talking about podcasting in the mainstream around the water cooler at work.
Yeah. Want to say a quick shout out to anyone listening today who really enjoys the afternoon show but doesn't enjoy the host. Now, Richard, what have you got for us today?
Well, the first one I wanted to talk about was a seven-part series called The Shrink Next Door. And this comes from a podcast studio called Wandery, who I don't know if you can remember, there was a popular podcast a year or two back called Dirty John became a Netflix series. They're the same people behind this. They've teamed up. That was with the LA Times. For this series, they've teamed up with Bloomberg and a journalist there called Joe Nocera, who, when he was working for the New York Times back in 2012, wrote this amazing story and a really bizarre story all about the relationship that developed over about 30 years between a psychologist or a psychiatrist called Ike Hirschkopf and a patient of his called Marty Markowitz. And it was a really, I guess, just one of those cases where you realize when you go and see a psychiatrist, you're putting yourself in quite a vulnerable position. And if that psychiatrist is the wrong person or isn't observing proper codes of ethics about boundaries and everything else, you're making yourself very vulnerable. And people could take advantage of that. And within, you know, a few years, this psychologist had managed to insinuate himself so much into his patient's life that he was effectively living in his house in the Hamptons. He'd got a job at his family-run fabric business in Manhattan. He'd got his will changed so that the psychiatrist's wife would benefit if and when he ever came to sell the house in the Hamptons, which was worth millions of dollars. So it was just, it's an incredible story really about trust and what happens when trust goes wrong and the ramifications for somebody.
Have you got a little cut for us?
I have, yeah. This is, so Joe Nocera, the reason he really first got interested in the story was he bought a house right next door to the house where Ike Hirschkopf, the psychiatrist, was living. And there was one memorable, which sounds like a fairly dreadful evening, where Joe and his wife Dawn got invited round to what they thought was Ike's home for some drinks.
I remember a desperation. Can we get your photograph? You know, we'd like to get this photograph. I thought the whole thing was just...
Strange.
I couldn't see a way out. I was doomed to hang on the wall with Richard Kind, OJ, and Gwyneth Paltrow. Okay, I said. And Ike went to grab a camera, one of those instant Polaroid things. He led me into an alcove where there were hundreds of other photos pinned to the wall. I didn't want to be another face on the wall, to tell you the truth. It felt weird. But I also wanted to be polite, and I really wanted to get out of there. So I let Ike take my picture, pin it to his wall, and then we left as fast as we could.
I remember getting to her home collapsing on the couch or something.
Dawn told me she never wanted to go back.
I remember saying to Joe it was a cross between a scene from Meet the Fockers and something, what was the other thing we
could... Fellini,
yes.
You said.
Yes.
Fellini.
I love that chuckle.
Yeah, and I love the little detail of the Polaroid sound effect as well.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the bizarre thing is this, the psychiatrist, his life really revolved around going to these charity dinners and trying to get his photo taken with all these celebrities, you know, Dr. Ruth and OJ and all these, and meticulously curating all these photos all over his house as a way of kind of building his social status. So, yeah, just a very, very strange, but very charismatic, manipulative character.
And what about the other character in the podcast? Is it Marty?
Well, this is Marty, yeah. I mean, Marty, you feel very sorry for him, but you keep kind of wanting just to give him a shake and say, come on, pull yourself together, man. You know, his parents die and he's inherits this multi-million dollar family business. Over the course of a few years, his relationship with his sister breaks down. And over that period, this psychiatrist becomes more and more influential and the advice is becoming, you know, you need to get out of this relationship with your sister and you need... So I guess in a sense, the story is really of Marty over the space of, you know, 20 or 30 years, actually kind of rediscovering himself. And it sounds bizarre, but kind of marshalling the courage to stand up to his psychiatrist and to break free from him.
That one sounds really good, Richard. It's called The Shrink Next Door.
Yeah.
What else do you have for us?
Well, this one is very, very different to The Shrink Next Door, which, as you could hear, was, you know, quite highly produced. This, again, is a very highly produced podcast. It's called Have You Heard George's Podcast? But it comes from Britain and from a spoken word poet called George the Poet. His real name's George Mpanga, who has released this 8-episode series called Have You Heard George's Podcast? It's a really unique, genre-defying blend of, you know, it's social commentary and it's journalism and there's some very florid fictional components to it. And it's he comes from a background in music. So he and his producer, this chap called Ben Brick, have gone into the studio and approached this podcast almost like putting together an album. You know, they George is like a real audio magpie, so he goes around with his voice recorder at all times, you know, recording his nephews in the playground and chatting to people all over the place. And then Ben Brick is a composer, so he's putting music in over the top of things. And what you get is this... Well, I should also mention that just about all of it's written in rhyming couplets as well. That sounds like it could be a bit jarring, but it's really powerful. And it covers some really hefty topics as well. You know, it takes on policing, teacher shortages, the role of music in kind of youth society, whether prison can really rehabilitate people. And a very memorable episode I'd wanted to play you. It kind of, I guess, remembers the Grenfell Tower fire. You remember that's that awful multi-story tower block that burnt down in London in June 2017. 72 people died. And George kind of marks that through the character of Bea, who's a young teacher. And I just wanted to play a bit of her teaching some of her 15-year-old pupils.
The three biggest challenges to Africans and women who have businesses are access to finances,
choosing to move into saturated markets and straight-up mismanagement. So if all your money is coming from gangbangers and crooks, and you're running a laundry service as bad as it looks, you're going to need a lot of math skills to balance the books. And I've already mentioned the strain on business that mismanagement puts. So you're going to need qualified staff, but your business partners aren't on the right path. Let's say, for every year they spend in the streets, their chances of ending deceased or with a sentence at least have gone up by half, okay? So what's the probability your business will last, given that you're taking on such a difficult task in which your criminal past is a prominent feature? Miss, if I were smart enough to answer that question, I'd do more with my life than becoming a teacher. Savannah, get out.
That episode, that's called A Grenfell Story, and it's really powerful. I'm only sharing a very small part of it.
So it's a dramatic imagining of a
yeah. It's so the teacher is a fictional teacher, and you kind of over the course of the show, it transpires that she does in fact live in Grenfell Tower and has been affected by the fire. But I think that kind of clip gives you a sense of it's almost theatrical and quite cinematic, some of the production. You know, you get all those the squeaking of the whiteboard pen, and I think it gives you a clue of how it's been put together. You know, it's been layered. Yeah. Someone's taken a great deal of time and effort to put together the sound design for that.
And the critics loved it.
Oh, they did. I mean, it was one of those, it won Podcast of the Year at the British Podcast Awards that went on last month. It won 5 golds in total, and it won them across a whole range of different categories. So what I was saying at the front just about it being genre-defying, I think that was people's observation. You know, it takes all these different, what we regard as discrete disciplines, you know, music, social commentary, fiction, poetry, journalism, and melds them all together into this crafted whole. Anyway, it's 8 episodes, and they're making season 2 at the moment, and definitely worth a listen, I'd say.
And it's called Have You Heard George's Podcast, which is tricky to remember, but we'll put it up on our website. Hey, while we're talking about awards, I better mention that 3 RNZ original podcasts won medals at the New York Festival's Radio Awards this week, which is a huge step forward for the podcast industry in New Zealand. They weren't radio shows that have been rejigged. They're actually narrative nonfiction. So Gone Fishing and Beyond Kate. Beyond Kate was that podcast marking the 125th anniversary of women's suffrage. Gone Fishing was a true crime one. They both won gold. And Bang, which has a number of fans around New Zealand,
oh, yeah,
the section sexuality podcast, that won a silver. And history podcast Black Sheep was a finalist in those international awards. So good news, eh?
Yeah, definitely.
You had some other news in podcasts.
Well, I've got an interesting show coming up this week called True Crime New Zealand. And it was just one of those funny things. If you look at the podcast charts as I do, this show I hadn't heard of before called True Crime New Zealand, I started seeing it up there above things like Stuff You Should Know and, you know, big names, Seth Rogen and the like. So I tracked down the people making it to see what the story was. And it's actually a husband and wife team living in Lower Hutt. Yeah. And they started it just in their spare time. They don't really want their real identities to come out. So he calls himself Sirius Rust, which I think is a great name for a true crime podcast host. And I chat to him on the show, but it's these people have written, and you know, it's a labour of love. They've done lots of research into some cases like Minnie Dean and the Parker Hume murders, and it's really good. And the other interesting thing is they've got lots and lots of reviews, and it's fair to say some of those were quite critical of the style. And they've acknowledged those head on and taken them into account and kind of gone off and, you know, done something about it. And, you know, I guess confronted it head on, changed the show and have improved it as a result. So that's quite an interesting local show.
Good for them. True Crime NZ. And more on that on Richard's podcast hour on Saturday. Saturdays from midday to 1 on this radio station. Nice to chat to you, Richard. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse.